So today is the last day in our series of Do You Hate Religion But Love Jesus? You're Not Alone. We've done three matchups so far. We've done judgment versus forgiveness. We've done rules versus relationship. And we've done self versus others. And today we're going to look at the fourth matchup, division versus unity. We are definitely living in a divided world, aren't we? We can pick any number of things that we can be divided by. We can be divided by politics. We can be divided by religion. We can be divided on our views about marriage, abortion, contraception, welfare reform, the economy, education, all of these different things. We are constantly in a state of dividing one another. And when it comes to the church, we haven't done much better. There are about 335,000 churches in the United States. There are 217 denominations, plus you have all of the churches like us that are non-denominational to factor in there. And just in Hayes, there's over 35 churches here in the city of Hayes. Yet within all of this diversity, within all of this division that we find in the church, Jesus teaches about the power and the necessity of unity. But the fissures of the church began when Jesus was on earth and his disciples were there and asking him about it. In our first scripture reading from Mark chapter 9, it says, John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he wasn't in our group. Don't stop him, Jesus said. No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. How many times have you heard someone say, oh, he's not in our group, so we don't want to associate with him? There are many different churches in Hayes and in America and across the world that are doing great things in the name of Jesus. Some of the things that they're doing we may not agree with, and maybe there's good reasons for that. But when we really get down to it, we need to examine our motives and our underlying attitudes that we have toward other churches and toward other ministries. If we see another church in Hayes doing well and growing and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, how do we respond to that? Are we excited that people are being reached for Jesus? Or are we a little jealous that it's not happening here at our church? Are we more concerned that the pews are getting filled? Or are we more concerned that people hear the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ? The religious person is more concerned about filling the pews and filling the bank account, whereas the follower of Jesus is more concerned about filling heaven. Jesus says that anyone who is doing good in his name is not against him, and anyone who is not against Jesus is for him. Now, the people in Jesus' day were being taught by false teachers, and we read about Jesus cleansing the temple. He found people in the temple that were changing money and selling things and making it a place of market, a marketplace, as opposed to a place that it's supposed to be, a place of worship and a place of prayer. And Jesus says that these things are not things to be ignored. We do have to take a stand for the things that Jesus teaches. He warns his followers to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he said that this yeast is their deceptive teaching. Now, the religious people of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were teaching people lies. They were teaching people untruths about Jesus and untruths about God the Father. These false teachers went so far as to accuse Jesus of being filled with Satan. And they said that that's the reason Jesus was able to cast out demons, was that he was a member of Satan's kingdom. And Jesus says, how can Satan cast out Satan? Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. How many families have been split apart by feuds? I know in my own family, the feuds usually come up over really ridiculous things. And people grab onto them. A lot of times it has to do with inheritance and who gets what. But is physical property Are those things that we feel are sentimental to us? Are those things worth dividing a family for? Are those things worth losing those relationships within our family? What about for the church? How many churches have been divided over what kind of music is played on Sunday morning? Does that really matter in the end? What style of music is played? As long as Jesus is being worshipped and proclaimed as Lord? The religious people would say, well, it has to be done a certain way. You have to go in this order of service. Whereas the person who follows Jesus says, we need to worship Jesus in all ways, in spirit and in truth, and reach people where they're at with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it about me, church, that is? Or is it about Jesus? Is it about my neighbors, my brothers, and my sisters? Jesus tells us to live in harmony with our brothers. He says, you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Jesus says that if you have a feud with someone that is unresolved, don't come to worship. Don't bring that offering to the temple. Fix the relationship first. That's how important it is for Jesus for us to get along with one another and to be united as a body of Christ. If you have a wrong with someone, don't partake of the Lord's Supper until you've figured that out and you've got that resolved. We need to make sure that we are in right relationship with our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And then taking that further, making sure that we're in right relationship with other people in the community and in our families and in our lives. This points back to Jesus' supreme commandment that we are to love God and love others. You cannot love God and then not love others. If you're not loving others, you're not loving God. Jesus says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Say it with me. Love each other. We are to love one another the way that Jesus loved us. And how did Jesus love us? He laid down his life for us. He says that's the greatest love, to lay down your life for your friends. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. That's exactly what Jesus did for his disciples. He says that all of us who follow Jesus are his friends. And because of that, he will lay down his life. But he didn't lay down his life just for the people that we see in this room. He laid down his life for every single person in the world. When we get focused on dividing ourselves and not being united in Christ, we hinder that message going out of God's love. When churches split, I've heard it say, well, If those Christians can't even figure out how to live together, there's no hope for the rest of us. Every person who is a follower of Jesus is to be considered our friend. And because of what Jesus did, we are to be ready to lay down our life for our friends. Look around the room for a minute. Are you willing to lay down your life for the people in this room? If you're not, then we really need to check our attitudes. We really need to make sure that we're loving God unconditionally. Because if we are not willing to sacrifice for someone else, then we're not demonstrating the grace and the love of Jesus Christ that He gave us. Because why are we able to love in the first place? Because Jesus laid down His life and He loves us. But often we get caught up on ourselves. We get caught up on our own needs, our own wants, our own preferences. And we forget who we are here to serve. Because it's not ourselves. It is Jesus Christ. And it is those around us. One of my favorite sports movies of all time is Miracle. And in this film clip that we're going to show, they just tied a game and they weren't paying attention during the game. And so now after this game, he calls them out and he's making them run some lines. And you'll see what he ends up saying here in this clip. So go ahead and watch it. So his whole point was that the name on the back is not as important as the name on the front. And he was trying to get into them that it's more important to be recognizing the fact that you're playing for the U.S. than what the name is on your jersey. He also says a line, "You think you can win on talent alone? You don't have enough talent." And that's a reminder, too, that our church doesn't grow because of the talent that we may or may not have. That happens through the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit. Church is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." The defining question for the church is, who do you say Jesus is? Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? That is what church is based on. That is how we come together. That's our rallying cry, is Jesus is the Messiah, Son of the living God. The other issues that distract us do not matter in the long run. What matters is, who do you say Jesus is? The name on the front of the jersey would say Jesus follower. And the name on the back would be your name. And what is more important? Jesus Christ. Jesus prays in John 17 that we would be united together as one church. Jesus says, "I am praying not only for these disciples," talking about the 12 that are with him, "but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me." How unified does Jesus want us to be? He wants us to be as united as He and the Father are. If we have divisions within us, we need to make things right. Because if we're not able to love one another as Jesus loved us, then we need to stop faking it. We need to get real with one another and do what it takes to restore the relationships that are broken. When the world looks at the church, what does it see? Does it see one church? Does it see a church working together, loving one another and loving the world around it? Or does it see a lot of people making themselves feel better by coming together and singing some songs, maybe reading scripture, patting one another on the back? Those who love religion are the ones that are there for their own gains. They are the Pharisees and Sadducees of our day. But those who love Jesus are looking for opportunities to unite together for the common cause of the gospel. And the gospel is the good news, and the good news is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. A Jewish leader named Nicodemus told Jesus that he believed God was with him. And Jesus says to him, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." And this, of course, confused Nicodemus, and Jesus continued. Well, first Nicodemus says, "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." Jesus says that the religious people are those who hate the light, who come to do things in secret so they aren't judged by others. Or they do things out in public to make themselves look better, just as the Pharisees prayed long prayers in public to make themselves feel better and make everyone think, "Oh, how holy these guys are." When really Jesus says that they are dark and they are evil and they are religious people in their hearts, not true followers of the way. For those of you who want to give up on religion and focus on following Jesus, Jesus simply says, "Believe on him and you shall be saved from judgment." This morning I ask you, do you love the light or do you hate the light? Are you religious or are you a follower of Jesus? To love the light means to live in unity with others, both those who follow Jesus and those who are not followers of Jesus. And this morning I want to pose a question to you. Will you choose this day to follow Jesus, or will you choose to follow religion, following yourself? Because the real question is, who do you say Jesus is? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? If you believe that, Jesus says, "Obey my commands and unite together with your brothers and your sisters in Christ." It's your call. It's your choice.